This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One name came up every time, and that was Carter Hawkins.
Carter Hawkins.
There is no secret sauce.
My wife said, don't say processes again.
Great people with great processes.
You said processes way too much yesterday.
Who are disciplined in those processes.
General manager of your Chicago Cubs.
I got the best job in America. It's unbelievable. It's awesome. I get to work in a great front office with great people, get to have influence over really fun decisions, and don't have to sign babies.
MLB executive for over 15 seasons.
Carter worked his way up rung by rung in a really remarkable front office in Cleveland.
So, I'm the number two, and it's great. People, for the most part, leave me alone. Yeah.
Finally, we come to my number two man. His name, number two.
Carter Hawkins with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We're happy to invite Carter on to talk about his first place team. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Carter, thanks for joining us. What's your experience like in watching the blossoming of a possible superstar with PCA?
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me. And I want to say, listen to the intro there, I'm pretty excited about the Austin Powers comment there that you guys got rocking. That's 3 years in the making. I'm surprised it just came out. So, good stuff.
Well, our guys don't miss a beat. They've got stuff for you.
I know, but 3 years to get to that? I mean, come on. That was a layup a year and a half ago.
No, it's true. It's true. Thank you for playing along. That's what makes it work.
Of course. I mean, Pete's playing unbelievable, right? I mean, it's fun watching him every day. In the outfield, obviously, the defense. It's amazing what he's able to do there, but he also, in some ways kind of does it quietly from a standpoint of, he's getting the balls and getting under balls that most guys are going to have to dive for. So that's super impressive. The base running, obviously we knew that was there, and he continues to make good decisions. And then, the big stuff is that, he's really driving the ball, and, he's not swinging and missing as much, and he's showing that he can contribute in all facets of the game, and, that's just fun to watch.
So the obvious question, Carter, is why didn't you make the offense this great sooner? What's wrong with you? Why did it take this long? Because this is unbelievable.
Yeah, nobody told me to. Nobody told me to. That's the thing, right? It's like, and finally got to, you want us to work on that this year? Okay, got it. So
I mean, obviously, there's a lot of factors here. There's the catchers hitting well and doing what they're doing, and there's Pete's blossoming, and there's Kyle's existence and the effect that has. Like, what do you point at when you're trying to tell people why it's good?
Yeah, I mean, I think my dad had a great quote, or has a great quote. He always tells me, he says, it's better to be good and know that you're lucky than lucky and think that you're good. And I think this is one of those situations where, we've had good approach, we've had good players that have consistently tried to get better, and, it's all kind of coming together over the course of this first few weeks. And look, there's going to be a downturn at some point here. Like, we're going to struggle. We're going to struggle to score some runs. It's a long season. There's no team that is immune to that, but I have confidence that you know, just like, you know, Dansby Swanson's able to come out of a slump, or just like Ian Happ's able to have the consistent at-bats, you know, week over week to be able to put up the numbers that he does, that, you know, this offense with the approach that we have, you know, have the ability to, over the long haul, score enough runs for us to win a bunch of baseball games.
We were having a conversation before you joined us about the run game. And this offense, to me, Carter, looks like it's got some diversity to it. Where, yeah, you got guys with slug in your lineup and guys that are having great years. But it also, with the addition of Pete getting on base more, it allows you guys to do more stuff. I don't know how or if you guys project that sort of thing when you're putting a team together, but it does seem like through 35 games or whatever, you guys are at a place where you can get teams in multiple ways.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, I'll nerd out here for a second, right? When we're thinking about, you know, how do we create wins? It's through creating runs or preventing runs. And a way to create runs is with your bat or on the base paths, and a way to prevent runs is with defense or with pitching. And all four of those things go into how we're building our team. And that's certainly something that we value, and certainly something that, you know, we pay for either in prospects or in dollars. And, you know, it's coming to fruition here with the guys on the base paths. It's also something we develop, right? So it's something that, you know, in the minor leagues or in the major leagues, we're working on. If you go out here, you know, well before the game starts, you'll see guys working on their base running. And those, you know, little times that they're working on getting better jumps or reading pitchers more effectively, they add up. And they turned into runs, and that hopefully turned into wins.
Was looking at the percentage with which teams try to take an extra base on Baseball Savant. Maybe this is the best that I can access. You have your own internal stuff that's proprietary, probably, but Diamondbacks number one, Cubs number two, Tigers tied for number two. That sounds right. That feels right. Does that feel right to you? Are you proud of a stat like that?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, you're trying to increase your run expectancy every time you take that extra base. You know, you don't ever want to, if you only ran to the next base when you're going to be safe 100% of the time, you know, you're not creating as many runs as you possibly could as a base runner. So, you know, overall, you know, teams in baseball can be a little bit more aggressive than, you know, maybe our mental models tell us to be. And, you know, I think we've taken a good advantage of doing that. We have some fast guys, right? That helps. But we also have some really smart base runners that are savvy, understand where outfielders are positioned, understand the situation of the game. And, you know, hopefully the brand of baseball here is pretty fun to watch. And I think you're seeing that in some of those first to thirds that you're referencing there.
Carter, how would you describe Kyle Tucker's impact to your lineup?
Yeah, I mean, just having a consistent force, right, and somebody that, you know, can hit righties and lefties, that can drive the ball out of the ballpark and get the big hit, can hit great stuff, can hit bad stuff. You know, it's pretty easy for counts to put him in the lineup every single day. And, yeah, I mean, he's created a lot of runs for us, and I think he's allowed the guys around him to loosen up a little bit too, and, you know, he's definitely been a catalyst that way.
Talking with Carter Hawkins here on 670 The Score. Is have you started to have the Cade Horton conversations that both Jed Hoyer and Craig Counsell said you had not had as of yesterday?
Yeah, we got to figure out what we're going to do, right? I mean, show is obviously on the IL. We have an off day. We have a lot of off days. So we can play around with things a little bit here in terms of being flexible with our pitching and then trying to make a decision. But, yeah, I mean, we're having the conversation of, you know, how are we going to fill this hole, you know, while Shota's out. And, you know, certainly Cade is one of the guys in AAA that we'll be talking about. And, you know, we'll make those decisions here over the next couple of days.
It's two starts in a row of six innings and 80 pitches, three starts in a row of just one walk. Has he hit all the markers that you need him to hit? And if not, like, what are some of the other factors, if he could enlighten us?
Yeah, I mean, I think Cade and a lot of our guys on AAA, you know, Keegan Thompson's gotten stretched out. He's actually looking really good as well. I mean, those guys can all get major league outs. It's about being consistent. And then for Cade, you know, the thing that he's really been working on down there is landing his breaking balls. Get a lot of swing and miss stuff, so that gets him deep into counts. Gets a lot of foul balls, you know, things like that. And, you know, we want him to try to have him be a little bit more efficient. And when he's landing his breaking balls, he's not going to get as deep into counts and be able to get deeper in the game. So that's what he's been focused on, you know, kind of the underlying aspect of that is just getting his delivery in a really good place. And, yeah, he's made some really good strides this year. And to your point, the results have been good. So I'm very encouraged by his progress, and he definitely, you know, put himself on the radar prior to, you know, this Shota injury, and certainly will be in the mix here as we make these decisions.
Doesn't sound like Carter's going to break news, Lawrence. Like, we could keep trying. We could keep working at it.
But well, wait, why don't we be more direct? Who's starting in Shota's spot, Carter?
We have not made that decision yet.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Well, we tried every method that we tried.
Hey, what I'm curious about is, like, I remember a couple years ago, I think I was saying Cade Horton should come up and be a reliever in September. And you looked at me and said, who are you, Jed? So, which is hilarious. So I've never forgotten that. So is Jed still the impulsive one? And are you the patient one in these conversations?
Yeah, I would not call Jed impulsive by any means, but eager maybe. He's probably a little more eager, I guess. And it's good, you know. There's a little yin and a yang, you know. For every Dr. Evil, there's a number two. So works out all right.
Look at that, a callback. That is great.
You're welcome,
Carter. With Shota and him never having to deal with a leg injury before, from an organizational standpoint, How important is communication? Because now you're talking about nuance of language where you understand what an English-speaking player might say, like, oh, you know, it feels a little tight. What's the protocol here when you're dealing with a player who English isn't their first language?
Yeah, it makes it tougher, you know, undoubtedly. And, you know, you try to put as many resources in place and have a really good team around it and make sure it's, you know, not Carter Hawkins or Craig Counsell or Jed Hoyer making the sole decision on what Shota's saying, right? So Shota's got a great team around him. He has his interpreter, Edwin, who's outstanding, you know, and we have some other Japanese influences in the clubhouse between now and Fumi, who works with our training staff. And so we really just try to make sure that we're kind of getting the wisdom of the crowd's interpretation of how he's feeling. And, you know, then we have his agency and the group that's with him as well. So we're in constant contact there. But yeah, it's a lot of checking and vetting the information that we're getting just to make sure that nothing's getting, you know, literally lost in translation, and feel good about, you know, where Shota is, feel good about, you know, what we've seen thus far. I mean, obviously not ideal that the injury occurred, but, you know, feel like that, you know, it's something that he should be able to get back from, you know, sooner than later, and, you know, hopefully not miss too much time and get him back in the rotation.
What happened to Jordan Wicks, if anything happened? I remember in 23, hell, Tom Verducci was throwing around Johan Santana when he was talking about his changeup as like a possible comp. I'm like, oh my God. And like, and now the results have been what they've been. Has something changed with him?
Yeah, I mean, he's backed up a little bit in terms of his performance, and, you know, I think he'd be the first one to tell us that. I think at the same time, you know, we've seen flashes of the velocity, flashes of the changeup that, you know, got some of those comps, you know, a couple of years ago. And, you know, in this game where, you know, things are rarely linear, where guys go up and down all the time, he's got a lot of runway left, and, you know, certainly he need to put on the gas a little bit here to get himself back in the mix, but he's absolutely somebody that we're counting on for innings, you know, not just this year, but into the future. And, you know, I think if he can continue to increase the deal a little bit and get his changeup back to that weapon that, you know, Verducci was talking about, you know, he's going to be good for a long time.
Miguel Amaya was very open about some of the changes that he made, and Craig Counsell worked with him personally, which I thought was really cool. You've seen great production from the catcher position. Was this projected, or is this a happy accident?
Yeah, I mean, we knew that Carson Kelly and Miguel were good, but we were not banking on them to have a, you know, 1,200 OPS between the two going into May. We'll take it, obviously. You know, kind of back to that, you know, better to be good and know that you're lucky type thing. You know, those guys having really, really great approaches. Carson made an adjustment with his hands last year that he's getting his bat in the zone a little bit more effectively, and, you know, getting the launch of the ball, you know, kind of at the angles we're seeing when he's hitting all of these home runs. So, you know, it's going to be tough to sustain, you know, being the best hitter in all of baseball over the course of the entire year, especially at the catcher position. But, gosh, I mean, that's been an awesome happy accident, if you will, and really glad that we signed him up.
Hey, Carter, did you happen to see the front office survey that was on The Athletic a couple weeks ago? Tyler Kepner surveyed a whole bunch of front office and manager types. Did that make its way to you?
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Yeah, and it was because it was kind of jarring to not see the Cubs like in the top 20 of the way that they looked at that, to see the front office there. And I'm wondering, you're having a great moment. Your team is like top two, top three in every power rankings. Like, things are going just fine, thank you very much. And there's, what did those voters get things wrong from your perspective?
Look, I have a lot of confidence in our front office, a lot of confidence in the people and the decisions that we're making. But I think a lot of those decisions have lagging impacts. I think you're starting to see some of the impacts of the decisions we made a couple of years ago. But as I looked at that survey, like, what reason would somebody have had, right, at this point to say we're in the top five of the front offices, right? Like, there's, you know, not anything that, you know, is happening at that point, that would say, yeah, like, those guys have definitely been one of the top five. I think we have one of the top five. I think as the results of our decisions kind of come to fruition here, that, you know, I would assume that we would get votes in the future. Obviously, that's not what we're solving for. We're solving for winning games for the city of Chicago. But yeah, I mean, I read that and was like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, I think about the guys up there, you know, my buddies in Cleveland and in other organizations. And it's like, yeah, those guys have consistently made decisions that were really good. And those decisions have come to fruition. Ours haven't come to fruition yet, but I think you're starting to see that this year and hopefully into the years in the future.
That's a thoughtful response. Appreciated. Do you feel like as an org, you guys have improved at some things that are the consistent challenges, turning cast-offs into bullpen weapons, like that kind of thing? Do you feel like you've gotten better at certain things?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it where the organization was, you know, when Jed took over in 2021, and then I look at it where it was when I walked in the door at the end of 2022, and just thinking about, you know, just our ability to make decisions in the draft, our ability to make decisions internationally, our ability to make decisions on the pro side, our ability to make decisions on the PD side and the process. Yeah, I know, obviously, that's my buzzword, but the process below those, there's been real changes, and those changes obviously take a long time to happen, right? If we make a decision on a different way to assess and sign our international prospects, you know, that might be 10 to 15 years before those guys show up in the big leagues, you know, because a lot of those guys are making deals when they're, you know, 13 years old. So, you know, there's just a long patience that it takes to be a great organization. Those teams that we're getting those votes in that survey you referenced. And, you know, we have that patience from a standpoint of understanding that, you know, things aren't going to happen immediately, but we also have the urgency to make the changes immediately in terms of the process. And we've done that. And I think we're starting to see some of the results.
Carter, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for the multiple callbacks. We have got a hot five set for you over at Zany's whenever you need it.
It's going to kill it.
I love it. I appreciate it.